have been suspecting something of this sort," she exclaimed. "But I did not dream of such audacity. Lavinia was telling the truth." Miss Minchin strode over to Becky and boxed her ears for a second time. "You leave the house in the morning."
Ermengarde burst into tears, and Becky stole away, her face hidden in her apron. Then it was Sara's turn again.
"I will attend to you tomorrow. You shall have neither breakfast, dinner, nor supper."
"I have had not either dinner or supper today, Miss Minchin," said Sara.
"All the better. Don't stand there. Put those things into the hamper again."
She began to sweep them off the table into the hamper herself, and caught sight of Ermengarde's books.
"And you have brought your beautiful new books into this dirty attic. I shall write to your papa. What would he say if he knew where you were tonight?"
Something she saw in Sara's grave, fixed gaze at this moment made her turn on her.
"What are you thinking of?" she demanded.
"I was wondering," answered Sara.
"What were you wondering?"
"I was wondering what my papa would say if he knew where I am tonight."
Miss Minchin flew at her and shook her. "You insolent child! How dare you?"
She picked up the books, swept the rest of the feast back into the hamper in a jumbled heap, thrust it into Ermengarde's arms, and pushed her before her toward the door. She shut the door behind herself and poor stumbling Ermengarde, and left Sara standing quite alone. The dream was at an end. The last spark had died out of the paper in the grate, and left only black tinder. The table was bare. The golden plates, richly embroidered napkins and garlands were transformed again into old handkerchiefs, scraps of paper, and discarded artificial flowers, all scattered on the floor. The minstrels in the minstrel gallery had stolen away, and the viols and bassoons were still. She sat with her little black head in her arms, then got up and went slowly to the bed.
"I can't pretend anything else," she said. "If I go to sleep, perhaps a dream will come and pretend for me."
And her very weariness was good to her, for her eyes closed and she fell fast asleep. When she awakened, at first she did not open her eyes. She felt too sleepy, and curiously enough, too warm and comfortable. Of course, it was a dream. She felt as if warm, delightful bedclothes were heaped upon her, something like a satin-covered eiderdown quilt. But something was forcing her to awaken.